Turuntuset tulee jo on äl.
And our main topic today is how to get maximum out of Russian market. To introduce it, I would like to say that during the current crisis in Russia, many companies, either from tourist sector or export, have told that the turnover from the market is decreasing. For instance, research about tourism sector shows that the amount of tourists from Russia to Europe has decreased by 30%. And my first question to you, Viktor, is that what are the things that a company that has a significant amount of business coming from Russian market should pay the most attention to today?
Yeah, that's a very, very practical question. I would say that it, of course, depends from the industry and the market. But if, for instance, we take a tourist market, yeah, it's not my very, very business fair where I working every day, but it's some sort of my personal experience. Of course, the statistics is very true thing, and if there is a 30% decrease, there are some reasons for that. But of course, if we take Europe at all, difference between Estonia and Portugal for Russian people is very different, very big, because the countries are a little bit in different geographical position. And if there are one third people less coming to Portugal, it doesn't mean that there should be one third people coming less to Estonia. I would say that first thing which every company should be focused during the crisis is to understand what they offer to the customer and offer their best. For instance, if you do the service in tourism sector, it's not just like you offer some visa support and some transfer and some local handling for the customer, but there should be really some added value which you give to customer if you compare to situation where he goes by his own, when he order the tickets from the internet and make booking of the hotel via booking.com, meaning that to show them something new, something more interesting, something more exciting or relaxing. Downshifting is quite popular nowadays in Russia, and something which he couldn't get if you just take ferry from St. Petersburg or bus from Moscow or train from Moscow and come by his own to spend night in Tallinn. Do you think it's a good idea?
Yeah, I think it's always good to be kind of more focused into the customers and the needs and how to solve it. But you have customers and clients in different countries, and I just wonder, what are the best strategies they are using currently to get results from Russian market?
Yes. First of all, it always depends how the Russia is important for the company. How vital the market is.
Let's say it's very important. Yeah. It's the most important country they might have in the portfolio.
That was my idea.
Okay.
So if it's really important market, actually the only strategy what you can have is to go deeper. To go further, to try to develop the market, even the external situation is not very good. Of course, there is always a matter of risk, but that's a risk management issue. It's different. You should just invest your time, maybe invest some business experience. For instance, I have a lot of customers from Finland, which is very close to St. Petersburg. Same as Estonia, and a lot of our customers are saying that okay, nowadays it's really not so easy time, so maybe we should think about cutting the cost, closing the office in Russia, and I understand what they're thinking about, but in the same time I see the companies who became more active. I don't mean that they're spending more money, but they're spending more efforts. And even one of my customers now is getting a biggest ever deal in their history, and they are becoming very dependent of Russian market because of that deal, because they the Russian market becomes more than 50% of their turnover. And when I ask them, whatever it's, you know, you how do you feel about in the current situation? How do you feel about the risks and so on? And the answer is very smart and very positive for me. They're saying, yes, Victor, of course, it's a very difficult time and the situation is not very easy. But we understand that in our strategy, Russia is our target market. And if we develop our strategy properly, it will be anyway, will be major market for us because Russia is much bigger than Finland. And now we are getting that. And what should we say? We say, no, we are stepping back. We don't take this because it's too risky. No, if we have this chance and we have to take this opportunity, we would better take it now, even maybe before, some years before than they have been planned. But just to have it, everything is in your hands, not in somebody's.
Does it mean, Victor, that that those who are planning to close down the Russian operations, those are losing anyway?
Let's say from the Russian market point of view, certainly, because it would be always more difficult to come back. It's now the best time, crisis time, it's always the best time for be prepared, to make preparation. If you remember 2008, the biggest ever deal in aircraft purchase was done in 2001, after 9/11, when all the aircraft market has been dropped, and Ryanair bought the biggest package of Boeings to that moment.
Winning because, with the best price.
Yeah, winning with the best price. So that's what they do always when it goes down. If you take Russian market today, you can take very good office spaces with a very reasonable price. You can take office spaces with the furniture for free. I mean, to get the furniture for free because somebody is closing down and you can just sit to somebody's place. You can hire very good staff, very good people with the international experience of working with international companies. And they are ready not just, you know, get some couple of thousand euro fixed salary and then maybe they will do something and so there would be some effect. No, but they are ready to develop the business. They are ready to be entrepreneurs. And sometimes they are ready to have very, very reasonable fixed salary and have a sales bonuses just to have some opportunity because they understand that the situation which is now when companies are stepping back, it's losing for market and losing for them also.
Victor, what was the field of the company you mentioned from Finland who just signed a good contract?
They are from industrial sphere. They are supplying some machinery in energy sphere.
Okay.
Well, why do we ask?
Well, just to understand, because it's different in different fields. Probably, because if we see those sanctions, they are not on every field. So it's wise to move on. If you would be a food company, food producing company, it would be difficult. I believe.
Sure. That's being a lawyer, it's very difficult for me to answer only one way. So you're only saying yes, but and so on. So, yeah. But I'm trying to control myself. Because, of course, everything depends from the circumstances. But even for food producers, again, being a lawyer, it's sometimes hard to make such kind of advices. But I see the practice, how the other companies are doing. I see that somebody are starting selling to Belarus and to Kazakhstan. Of course, I understand that this product would be finally go to Russia, And it's nothing which concerns to the company. They are just having one more market, and that the buyers, the resellers, they will be taking care how to bring it to Russia and avoid all these bans. I understand for some companies it's some sort of moral issue, but finally, you know, it's everything about business. If that's your market, which is, you know, strategically important, like it's important, for instance, for Valeo in Finland, and even in this situation, which is not very good, they are saying that probably they would be increasing some production in Russia in order to avoid this ban and so on. That's quite good messages which you can find in such a situation.
You told also that you have the juridical background, and thanks to that you mostly see the risks. But can you tell me what are the biggest risks currently for the foreign companies in Russia, or for European companies in Russian market?
I think that the strategically, of course, the biggest risk, it's marketing risk. It's about getting ruble to be weaker and weaker. Today, it has been announced that the rate is again about 50, which makes it more than 20% plus what we had a year ago, or even less. And of course, it's very hard to sell something when your product become more expensive because of the things which you could not anyhow affect. That's of course strategically, but tactically, I think one of the most difficult and risky issues, it's of course relations with the dealers, resellers, and other possible partners, because in one hand, it's of course very difficult situation on the market, and you should somehow support your partner. But on the other hand, there is a great risk that if you will get them some benefits, if you postpone some invoicing, then you would never get this money, because the company will fall deeper to the economical difficulties and finally going to bankrupt. So I'm now remembering the speech which was actually made by Estonian entrepreneur during the seminar which I had in Chamber of Commerce in May. And he was from the food industry, and I understand that now it's not very good taste for him. But the message which he was giving, it was very clear. He was talking about his experience in Russia, and that first they have a dealer, then they had made the sub joint venture with that dealer, and now they came to the situation where they have a subsidiary company in Russia. And he told, and that was in May 2013. Of course, it was before August 2013 for the agriculture sector, but okay, even in May, he told that this choice of the daughter company or subsidiary company was the best model for them, because they were controlling all the costs, they were controlling all the deliveries, and they were controlling all the cash flows. They were never and I understand why it was, because you know, when you are dealing with the Russian dealer or reseller, you can always often heard that some retail chains have been not paid in time, that some bank issues do not allow you to get payment in time, and so on and so forth. So there are quite many reasons, wherever they are true or not true, which can affect such easy thing as getting money to your pocket. And in such situation, it could be so that for some companies who are dealing with the Russian market, and I hope that they are not affected so greatly by this current situation that they are thinking about going away from the market, to make a step and to make and to start own subsidiary company to control your business more. If you are dependent from this market, you should control the situation more. And this is a very important thing, I mean, if you come back to the risks. Because the biggest, maybe one of the biggest risks is that you depend on this market and you are not controlling it at all. And tomorrow your seller will start working with your competitor and you will lose the market at all.
Very good. And with a weakening currency, we cannot do a lot. We can just insure a bit and increase prices at the right time and expect that the customers are still buying.
Yes. Yes. And in some industries, there are concepts. For instance, I have customers who started this year partial relocation of production to Russia because they understood that they could not beat anymore with the 100% euro-based pricing. So okay, they are separating their production process, or they are defining some position in the price list that they could produce in Russia, and you know they became less dependent. Of course, it's not 100%. Independence. For that, you should move to Russia, which is not maybe the best advice in if you take business in overall. But but at least partially to make this, you know, business is about money and about figures. You know, 99% is already less than 100.
Yeah, that's true.
Are there any companies you've met during this past 6 months who have entered the Russian market just the first time to find out what they could do during this crisis and to find new opportunities?
Yes, yes, I have, and I'm quite happy that I had even one company from the food market. They are not their products are not from the ban list, so it doesn't affect them so much. But we have one company from Finland and one company from Latvia, who are somehow connected to agriculture and to food production, and we are now stepping ahead to Russian market with them.
But what's interesting for me is to understand the difference in thinking. The companies who actually, you told that it's for many of the companies, it's a moral question to enter the Russian market or to leave from there. But how do the companies who are just entering first time, how do they think? What they do differently in their mind?
I think, first of all, it's a matter of people. Because in both cases, these projects are run by the people who know what is Russia. So it's not like
they are familiar with the situation and people and culture.
Yes, mm-hmm. And they understand that there is no coin have only one side. So there is always two sides of coin, and there is always something different from the. Some what you get from the media or what you get from your contacts, and you understand that it's not like people are now marching by the streets of Moscow like in North Korea and so on and so forth. But life goes on, and people are still eating, sometimes drinking, sometimes not even water. And they are spending, having a free time, they're spending this free time, and that sales of Mercedes-Benz and Lexus in Russia within the last 3 months have been increased by I think twice.
Wow.
150%.
It's a very good news. That's why I just wanted to continue that how could an European company now turn the crisis really into an opportunity in Russia?
Yeah, it's quite clear that crisis, it's something which clear market up. The players who were not ready to compete fairly, who were not ready to offer the best product, with the best price in the best place, they are losing the market, they are losing the business. So of course there is always opportunities. It's not very easy to say practically, because it always depends on the company and the situation. But for instance in the tourist sector, what we have now in Russia is that we have every Monday morning we have some big tourist company which fails to bankruptcy. And I understand that within the summertime, it really saw that the sales of the tourist product have been decreased dramatically because of mistrust. People are not believe that they will pay the money and they will get the product. They are afraid that they will pay the money and then they will go somewhere to have a vacation, and then they will have to pay for hotel, for back tickets, and so on and so forth. So if you ask me, the opportunity for the foreign company in such situation, if you are interested to attract people to your country, you should make an office in Russia, in the place where there has been sitting some Russian company, in which is still, you say, hot, because people are still coming to these places and checking wherever there is some hot offers, and say that, hey guys, we are direct subsidiary or representative of the operator in Estonia, and if you pay us, it's much more trust than if you pay to some Russian operator. I'm sure that will, at least the mistrust issue, it will solve partially. Of course, there should still could be some monetary issue and again this currency matter, but at least that problem that we solve, because it's impossible to if you come back to this sector, it's impossible to replace tourist companies with the internet in Russia, because it's not all the people are speaking English, not all the people are using actively internet so freely that they could book the tickets and order tickets, but in same time, and not a lot of people are familiar with that and ready for that, but they are ready to travel, they are ready to spend their money. Like, that's like an idea.
Very good. And I now come to one of our favorite questions to introduce to you. During the first 68 shows, we were used to talk here about Estonian log houses and how to use our expertise for them. But now then we decided to change, and now after the Russian crisis, as we called it here, we thought that we are talking in every hour marketing radio talk show about Estonian food producers, and asking from every guest we have, either here in a studio or via Skype, we're asking almost the same question, that what do you think, what are your suggestions to European or Estonian food producers who used to export to Russia, what they should do now when the import to Russia is prohibited?
Sit back or something else?
And of course, the Estonian was different from Finland, I think, and that means that the quantities we exported were rather small. So it wasn't kind of, if you know well about Valio, we also have a subsidiary of Valio here in Estonia. They were also exporting to Russia, but I think that quantity-wise, it's not comparable to the Finnish, I think, market leader, should they be.
But still, what should they do now?
First of all, of course, hope to the best.
Okay.
Okay.
Because
thank
an
you.
Easy one, yeah.
No, no. But and they'll do their best. So again, it's very dependent from the company situation and wherever they are really having some alternatives for the market. I would say that we see different opportunities and different options, and which are suitable for some companies and which are not suitable for some companies. You know, getting back to the options with Belarus and Kazakhstan, or I don't know. I know that the funny guys from Montenegro are very interested to put their brands on the different products without even getting them to Montenegro.
Okay, and probably some guys from Turkey as well.
Yeah, maybe. I think the problem with the guys from Turkey is that they will start making your product quite soon.
Okay, they will copy your product. Okay.
Guys from Montenegro, I don't care about it. They enjoy their yachts and time in beautiful country.
Okay.
But that's it's of course sort of the joke. But you know, every joke is a partial is joking about. But then it's could be some joint venture options. There could be some product options wherever if the product allows. I don't have a universal answer because that's a very let's say the situation is very difficult, but the most difficult is for the sector you're asking about.
I
understand that the company are so small and they're very dependent from the market, and it's really very I think 10th of August was not the best day for all of these people.
But I just wonder that okay, one of the things is that import to Russia is prohibited. But my question is that could there be an opportunity if you have a very good, I don't know, a recipe or something that you can license the production to a Russian company so that someone can make the ice cream according to your recipe and even sell it under your brand name, but just it's made in Russia, not in Estonia, and I really mean, and the kind of business will be taken out. You take money not from exporting your product, but just from exporting the know-how as a license fee. Would this be something to be thought about?
Yes, that's called a joint venture option or franchise option. Or if you know your customers, if you know who are buying, maybe you know there is a sense to make a store in Narva and make promotion that, okay, you in St. Petersburg, you are not able to buy our cheese in St. Pete, but please come to Narva and we will have you, you know, you will get it with the... tax-free options. I don't know if it's practically possible, but for sure it's possible. I know that it is something which is done in Finland when you are buying the big two bags of food and getting tax-free for them. Great option.
Yeah, okay.
We can organize it all over our border because we have many holes there.
No, you can have one store on every hole.
No, but I would say that, you know, you are, or I think you all know about this La Peranta economical miracle.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take it from the from geographical and from physical position, Narva looks much more interesting because it's closer to St. Pete, for instance, and it's you can walk there. You can park your car in Ivangorod and walk to Narva.
Okay, what happened in the Lappeenranta? Why can't you walk there? It's a bit far from the border, yeah?
Yeah, it's about almost 100 kilometers.
Okay, sorry, yeah.
It's not impossible. It's not like two cities.
Yeah, it's not like walking.
Yeah, it's not walking.
It's still walking. Okay. So I think that the crisis is good, that you have to take time off and you really think about new different things and find new different ways that you haven't thought before. So we encourage Estonian food producers still to think about Russian market and be ready for the market opening, hopefully, in now about 10 months' time, yes? Almost.
I don't know. Maybe we will know tomorrow something good from the EU side, and then some guys from Kremlin would like to have some Finnish cheese.
Okay. Or then they decide that they never would like it anymore, so they will just prolong it for 100 years or something. But let's see.
Let's be positive.